The Catholic Church's Child Protection Watchdog has found that 8 religious congregations often failed to contact directly people making child sexual abuse allegations against priests, brothers and nuns, and that their support for complainants continues to be inconsistent. In the audits of the congregations, the National Board for the Protection of Children in the Catholic Church also found that the time frame for reporting allegations against congregation members to the civil authorities was variable up to 2009, but that it has improved considerably since the introduction of new church standards. We'll be talking to the board CEO, Teresa Devlin, in just a few moments. First, we're joined by our religious and social affairs correspondent, Joe Little, who's been reading through this document or documents. Joe, what are the main findings here?
Well, first of all, who was involved? These full audits, as opposed to partial audits, which were done on some other organisations and which are also published today, the full audits apply to the Vincentians, the Redemptorists, the Palatines, the Mill Hills and the White Fathers, along with the Sisters of St. Louis, of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, and the Presentation Nuns. And it found that organisations often failed, as you have said, to make direct contact with people alleging their members had abused. It also found unacceptable, in some cases, delays in reporting allegations of abuse to the civil authorities, to the Gardaí and the health boards, the health service executive now. And but it also found a consistent improvement across the board in respect of both these and many other aspects of the handling of very vulnerable people coming forward complaining that they had been abused, and of course very vulnerable people who are accused of abuse, and both have rights in these difficult situations. It interestingly, and I think this is an interesting reflection on the missionary organisations which were examined. When children, both here and in missionary countries, made allegations against a number of priests ministering abroad, the congregations' responses varied, but increasingly the congregations returned the accused priest home and kept him here in a house under restricted circumstances. But the National Board says it's very rare for complainants in a mission country to do anything that might result in the trial of the person who they're complaining against. And therefore, it's vital, it's critical in these circumstances that church inquiries establish if there's a semblance of truth to the allegations and how the risk is to be managed or has been managed in the past. In connection with this, one case of which has had a huge impact in this country and on this organisation, the case involving Father Kevin Reynolds is referred to because the Mill Hill Fathers are audited, and they say that they remind us that RTE accepted that allegations made in a Primetime Investigates programme in relation to him were baseless, without any foundation whatever, and untrue, and he received compensation as a result of an action he took. They vindicate the decision to return Father Kevin Reynolds to ministry in the audit of the Mill Hill Fathers. They also point out that there are time frame delay. There are delays in the records of the Mill Hill Fathers in reporting allegations to the Garda Síochána, and it says in 5 of the cases there were delays by the society of between 1 and 13 months in making notifications. And the Mill Hill Fathers have issued an apology. They welcome the review and they offer their unreserved apologies to anyone who's been abused by a member of their society in the past, and they accept the reviews, recommendations, and will endeavour to ensure that they're implemented.
All right, Joe, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Our religious and social affairs correspondent, Joe Little, as I said, also with us in studio is the board CEO, Teresa Devlin. Good afternoon, Teresa Devlin. Could you explain for us this failure to contact directly people making allegations against priests, brothers and nuns? How is that explained, and what systems are in place or need to be put in place to arrest that deficiency?
I think that's the overriding theme of these reviews, that the response to survivors of abuse or complainants of abuse isn't yet good enough. Often allegations come through a third party. They come through lawyers or they come through another person. It is most often the case within the Catholic Church that people disclose their abuse as adults, but when they were abused as children. So it takes people a lot of courage to come forward, and the response that they should be met with isn't good enough in many cases. People don't really know how to respond. It is correct to say...
Sorry, Teresa, what does that mean, they don't know how to respond?
I keep talking about a pastoral response. This is the church that we're talking about. The process that church authorities or church bodies, so orders and dioceses, go through at the moment is they make a notification to the civil authorities, the police and social services. They then stop their own inquiries, and at that stage they somehow or other feel that they cannot approach the victim directly or the survivor directly.
Why?
Because they don't want to interfere with the criminal process. They don't want to have an unsolicited contact. So increasingly we're developing good guidance. We're developing standards which look directly at what survivors of abuse need.
But that seems to be a pretty basic standard, a standard standard. It should be quite obvious to them, surely, that this is what's required, is to make contact. How could they be unaware of it at this stage?
Well, it's not that they're unaware of it. They're afraid to do so often after they have notified the civil authorities. At that point, they stop. And I think, well, actually, it's at that point that they need to be making that contact. And they should be writing and inviting those people to come and meet with them. A lot of them do, and increasingly so in the last year. But a lot of them still need to just put aside their fear of litigation, put aside their fear of any kind of interference with criminal processes. They should talk to the guards and establish, can they do that? And if they're able to do that, then they should write and invite the people to come forward and meet with them.
Do you think they're equipped to do that on a social level? Is it not an easy thing to do?
They are required to appoint a lay person to undertake that role. Now, I think that also the priest or the brother or the sister should also do that, because we have to remember this is abuse within the church, and there has to be a pastoral response as well as counselling and support. So survivors are always referred to through for counselling and support, but they miss that human bit, that social contact to say, whatever you want to tell me, I'm here to listen. Survivors can get angry, they can get upset. That's what they have to put up with.
It would appear as if the whole process of how to deal with these complaints and how to respond to them is still almost in development, but yet you would have a very clear view, and other professionals working in the area would have a very clear view on what's to be done. When would all of this be written down and understood and acted upon by the various congregations, so that you don't, in a year's time, still get the same answer of, well, we weren't sure what to do, or we didn't know if that was a good idea?
Well, isn't that the benefit of these reviews? It was all written down in 2009 when the church's standards were developed. As we work our way through the reviews, we're uncovering whether people have followed the standards or not. I do have to say, in relation to this group of reviews, I'm reassured that currently this set of eight, and there was also 10 other orders reviewed in a lesser way, that they do understand their obligations. It is correct to say in the past, and up until 2009, they were very slow to respond. People are still nervous about aspects of it, and still need a huge amount of support and help.
Would it be fair to characterise this resistance as they think, some of them think they know better?
I have to say that's not my experience. I think they just don't know. And that's why they need to come to the national board or to social services, the experts in this field.
Will you ever get it right, do you think?
Will the church ever get it right? I think the church,
the congregations, the individual congregation members, do you think that they will get it right in the sense of they'll know what to do and they'll do it? And that you'll be able to report not quite 100 out of 100, but 99 out of 100 the next time you come in?
I think this group is almost there. I can't say that about those that haven't yet been reviewed, but I'm very reassured by this group of reviews that we have produced today.
And when people do get it wrong or don't do what they're supposed to do, how do you convey that information to them? Is there a sanction, or is it all done very nicely in a chat in a small room where you say, now look, here's where you're going wrong?
Well, I'd like to have the control that you think I have over these people, but I certainly don't. I can only guide them in terms of this is what the mistakes that they have made, and this is clearly what they have to do. They have made decisions to make this information public. And if in a public document there is reference to their failures, they have to decide what, in terms of their own management, what to do with those who have failed.
All right. Thanks indeed for coming in this afternoon. Teresa Devlin there, CEO of the NBS CCCI.